Judges chapter 3. Between the time of Joshua's leadership and the time that Saul was made the king, Israel had 15 judges. And the first of them is a man named Othniel. His name has to do with being a lion. It's regarding his strength. And I think it also is interesting to me that often in the Old Testament, we see pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think each of these judges in different ways portrays the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll keep our eyes out for that. I know Othniel certainly does. I'll show you that in just a minute. But this man named Othniel, we're going to meet here. It'll be down around, let's see, where are we at here? Right towards the end of the passage. But before we get to his name, I think it's verse 9 is where we meet him. The first 8 verses kind of reestablish the situation. Now, you remember the history of Israel. They were in captive in Egypt. They were powerless against the Egyptians, but God delivered them. And so now they're in the wilderness, and they came out into the wilderness, and they were provided for and led for 40 years. Then they went in and they took the promised land, and they had Joshua as their leader. And once again, they're basically outgunned, if you would say, outpowered by the people of the land. But when God's on your side, folks, anytime it's you plus God, you're in the majority, amen? And so they took the promised land and they inhabited that land, and they were driving the inhabitants out. But, and it's described at the end of chapter 2, they broke their covenant with God. God said, if you'll do some things, I'll do some things. And they were to obey God. And one of the things that they were commanded to do was to drive out the inhabitants of the land, the ungodly people, the ones that were they were wicked, they were immoral, they had false gods, they worshiped idols, and God said, you need to drive those people out, because if you don't, they're going to have a bad influence on you. And they didn't drive them out. And so they find themselves in chapter 3 beginning a cycle, and we've talked about that cycle before, where they fall into captivity, they cry to the Lord and God delivers them, and then they go right back to where they started from. There are some things that we can see here in this chapter that are really interesting. Two or three of them just jumped out at me today. And so let's begin by reading in Judges chapter 3. I'll read out loud just a few verses here, beginning in verse 1. If you'd stand with me for the reading of God's Word, if you'd stand please, I'm going to read Judges chapter 3 and the first few verses here in the chapter. The Bible says, now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know, to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, 5 lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Zidonians, and the Hivites, that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the Lord of Israel did, I'm sorry, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rith-Hathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Chushan-Rish-Hathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Chushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel the son of Kenaz died. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight, while we look at this passage, that we can see some things in it that aren't just history, but that they're practical for us. And I pray you'd help us to see those things tonight. I pray for the folks that are here, that each one would receive a blessing from the Word of God. Give me wisdom, please, as I preach. And pray for the folks that couldn't be here tonight. You'd care for them, bring them back safely. We thank you for this time we've had to pray. We thank you for our nation. Thank you for the things you've done in our nation. I pray you would draw it closer to you, that we would not be a nation that runs from God, but that we'd be a nation that obeys God. And even as we see the nation of Israel in this passage, we realize that some of these things apply to us as well. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You'd have thought, with Israel in the promised land, that things would have calmed down, so to speak, that the battles would have not been an issue, that they would have had some better times, let's just say. And after all, they finally have a land of their own. They're finally no longer at war. They are now inhabiting that which God had promised to give to them. And you'd have thought things would have gotten better. That's the human perspective. The problem is, and it's just really simple, when you don't do things God's way, things don't get better. It's just a fact. We try and we try and we try to get people to see this. Our nation needs to see this. And what's happening in our nation right now is rather horrifying, because you look out and you see a group of people that I honestly believe are still in the minority, but they don't want to do what God wants us to do. They don't want things God's way. They want things their way. And they're very angry about it, and they're very vocal about it, and they are very often the voice that gets heard the most. And as a result, our nation is drifting farther and farther, or I should say moving farther and farther away from God's will. And when you look at this passage here and these stories about Israel, they had the same problem. They were moving away from God's will. They've got the land. They've got finally a place that belongs to them, and they finally are at an end of wars, or so they thought at least. And they could have had God's blessing if they would have listened to God. Christians, let's you and I remember, we need to listen to God. We need to hear His word. And that was the key phrase here. You'll see it in just a minute, that they would not hearken to the Lord's commands. They had them, but they didn't listen to them. And they may have called it an oversight, or they may have said, well, we're doing pretty good. Probably if you'd gone to Israel during this time period, on the surface, it probably looked well. They had the tabernacle, and they were still offering sacrifices and those kinds of things. But when you look at the people have begun to trust in false gods and to do things that dishonor God. And as a result, the anger of the Lord was kindled. So the first of these judges is, as I'll show you in a minute, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The entire book is a test. It's described back in chapter 2 in the last few verses, but mentioned again there in chapter 3 in verse 1, it says, to prove Israel is going to be a test here. It says in verse 4, there we go, it's chapter 3 in verse 4, it says that they were to prove Israel by them. And so what's happened is God said, we're going to leave some of these ungodly people in your midst and see how you respond to them. And folks, I would just remind you that temptation is not something that we're going to lose until we step into eternity. Praise God, there'll be no temptation in heaven. Amen. But meanwhile, there will be temptations. God placed the tree of good and evil right in the middle of the garden where Adam and Eve could see it, and they had a choice about it. And there are going to be temptations, and obeying is not always easy. And Israel, of course, in this situation did not do well with that. Because these people were in their midst, three things I'll show you. This group of ungodly people that they were living with, they're named there a couple of times in verse 5, the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. If you were to go to Israel today and look at their museums, they have statues that these people made. And these people were very wicked people. They were very profane people. They were immoral. They worshiped false gods. They offered their children as sacrifices to these false gods. And they did not believe in the God of heaven. And they were idolatrous people. They were wicked people. and they're living amongst the Israelites. And so, first of all, because of that, there was a conflict to be expected. In other words, that's the same as we have today. There's a conflict between God's will and man's will. God says some things are permissible, some things are not. Man says, I want those things that are not permissible. I don't care what God says. And so you have a conflict. In our nation right now, you can see it as plain as day. There's a conflict, isn't there? Read in the press, there's this two different sides and they're fighting each other and there's this conflict. There's a conflict between God's will and man's will, between obedience and disobedience. He says there in verse 1, he says that they had not known war, but in verse 2 that they're going to learn and they're going to be taught war. There is, anytime you have God's people and ungodly people in the same place, there's going to be conflict. And that's just a fact. So the conflict was there. A test was to prove if they would obey the Lord in verse 4. It didn't mean obedience would be easy, but it was still the better choice. And so they had to choose. They had the law of Moses, which was the word of God, the Pentateuch in particular. And then they had all these things around them, the people and the things these people were doing and the things these people had to offer. And it's just the same thing as we have today. You and I have the word of God. And we live in a world which is filled with wickedness, isn't it? You look at the media, or you listen to the TV or the radio, or you read a magazine, or you read the newspaper, and all around you, you see all this wickedness and all these ungodly things being offered. And it's the same as they had in that day. They were surrounded by wickedness. They knew the Word of God, and now they had to make a choice. I would contend that if you and I, just like these people, need God's strength in order to withstand temptation. Amen? It's a situation. It's a very difficult one. There is a conflict taking place. And so look at the steps that they took. And we should be cautioned not to take these steps. You can see them in verses 5 and 6. First of all, the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites. And it names these folks. I'm not going to read those names all again. But they dwelt among them. I just remind you, the Bible says that we should come out and be separate. I realize we live in a world that is filled with wicked people, but we still need to make sure that our dwelling, if you will, that our acquaintances, that our friends, that our the folks that we care about are godly people. Amen? It doesn't mean that you can't try to reach somebody who's lost, but the people that we want our children, for example, to marry, and the people that we want to see and our circle of friends ought to be godly people. And when you are around other folks, you affect them, but they also affect you. So they dwelt among these people. That was the first problem. And in verse 6, there's the give and take. It says they took their daughters and they gave their daughters. And what's happening here is they're marrying these folks that are ungodly, unsaved, if you will. And then in verse 7, it says they did evil. They forgot the Lord and they served Balaam. And there's those last three steps. They began to do the things they shouldn't do. And then they forgot about God and what God wanted. And now when they need help, when they need someone to trust in, rather than trusting in God, they're trusting in idols. Now that happens today. People today that can fall into sin and they start to think, you know, I don't know that I can trust God. They could, by the way. But they begin to trust in themselves or their circumstances or something else, money maybe as an idol. This is the very same step that these folks took. So there was this conflict because of the presence of these ungodly people. And then as they did evil, there was a consequence of that evil. Look at verse 8. It says, therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. There's four or five things listed here. First, his anger. Second, he sold them into the hands of, and this man's name, I wish it was shorter. It's here about five times. It's Shushan Rishathaim, or Rishathaim, and what it means is he's doubly evil or doubly wicked is what that word all comes back to. And it even ties back to the name Cush, which is a word that means black. But anyway, he's a very, very wicked man, and they're sold into his hand. And then they serve him in verse 8. For 8 years, the Lord sold them to be wicked They reaped what they had sown. They saw the consequences of their disobedience. And it caused them, in verse 9, to cry unto the Lord. Here's one of my questions for you. 8 years, and then they cried unto the Lord. And here's the thought, what took them so long? Amen? Now, let me show you something here. Just keep your finger, and I'll show you. Keep your finger in chapter 3. Look at this. In chapter 3, in verse 9, it says that Israel cried unto the Lord. Look at chapter 3 and verse 15. Israel cried unto the Lord. That's the next judge, Eglon. We'll look at him next week. Look at chapter 4 and verse 3. Israel cried unto the Lord. That's for another situation where a third judge is provided. Go to chapter 6. Just flip over a couple of pages. In verse 6, Israel, it says the children of Israel cried unto the Lord at the end of verse 6. And then finally in chapter 10 and in verse 10, Judges chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, Israel cried unto the Lord. And here's the interesting thing. God always heard him. Amen? You see, there was a consequence of the evil, but there was a cry that had a great effect. Now, you could study this out in the book of Judges, but here's what you'll see. They get into a situation, they cry to the Lord, God delivers them. It happens again. It happens again. It happens again. And somewhere after chapter 10, it's interesting, if you look at that phrase, they got in trouble, but they didn't cry to the Lord. In fact, there's a point in time where they go, a group of them go to the tribe of Dan to try to get some help from them. They stop crying out to the Lord, and what you'll see at the end of Judges is Israel is taken, they fall into a civil war, and it's a real mess up until Samuel comes along. The times when they cried to the Lord, God heard. And it's amazing to me. Folks, when we cry, the Lord hears. You saw what they've done. They've been wicked. They forgot the Lord. They disobeyed his commands. And yet, they cried and God answered. Now, we'll just take a minute and I'll show you something about Othniel, this judge, and then we'll be done. So, the conflict was there. They had to decide between obeying and disobeying, and they disobeyed. The consequence of their disobedience was God's anger. They're sold into wickedness. They would have thought perhaps, oh, hey, when we do wicked things, it'll make us happy. But it didn't make them happy. It caused them to cry. It caused them to have a bitter life. They became hard. Their life was hard, and they had no reward. And so they cry unto the Lord in verse 9, and look at the effect. And I'll show you that, and we'll be done. Look at verse 9. It says in Judges chapter 3 and verse 9, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. If you're interested in Bible history, you can go back and study Caleb, and there's a lot of exciting things about him. He was a good man, but his brother also was. God raised up a deliverer. Now, what I told you at the first, I want to finish with, and that is, Othniel is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't take you to these verses for the sake of time, but the Bible says in Psalm 18:2 and in Romans 11:26, the Lord Jesus Christ is a deliverer. Amen? We have a deliverer. You see, this story really is our story, not as a nation, but as an individual. It's also could be a national story. I hope it is. But as an individual, we had a choice. We disobeyed God. We found out that the wages of sin is death. It got us into a situation that we desired to be delivered from. And God raised up the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver us. Amen. Othniel's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as a deliverer. It gets better. So we keep reading in verse 9 of Judges chapter 3. It says in verse 10, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now, I just can't help but stop and remember Isaiah 11:2, Matthew chapter 3, when the Lord was baptized, or Matthew chapter 12 at the Mount of Transfiguration, the Spirit of God came upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The reference is unmistakable. And there are other passages I could have referred you to. Isaiah 11:2 is about the best of those. But once again, Othniel is a picture of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Look at verse 10. He judged Israel. Hebrews 10:30, Romans 14:10, the Lord Jesus Christ is a judge. Amen? Very exact same picture. He went out to war, it says in verse 10. And in Zechariah 14:3, you should read these verses, and if you want the list, I'll give it to you later. But the Lord Jesus Christ is going to go fight on behalf of Israel. And I love those two battles in the Revelation, the second one especially, when the nations of the world come up against Israel. And at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ, the devil is loosed and he deceives the nations and they come up against Israel. And the Lord Jesus Christ destroys them with the word of his mouth, just like that. He wins the battle instantly. Same thing at the beginning of the thousand-year reign in the Battle of Armageddon. He goes out to war for them. He prevails. The Lord Jesus Christ prevails in verse 10. And then in verse 11, the land had rest 40 years. As long as Othniel was there, they had rest. Of course, then he died. And folks, as long as the Lord Jesus Christ reigns in our life, we can have rest. Amen? I talk to people all the time, young people, other folks, and they'll tell me, you know, I'm thinking about doing something, and I'll say, that's not God's will. And if you do that, it's not going to work out better. It's going to make you unhappy. I talk to young people, and we see young people, and they're fascinated by the wickedness of the world because they're surrounded by ungodly people, just like Israel was. And they see what the world has to offer, and they look at that, and they hate that. Hey, that'd be good. Folks, the wages of sin is death. And when you start to dabble in sin, what you'll find out is, at first, there is a pleasure of sin for a season, and then it gets bitter. And then life gets sad. And then you come to the point where you have no reason to live even. And folks, sin doesn't make things better. It makes things worse. And when it does, I want you to know something. Praise God, we have a deliverer that we can call on. And I just got to think this. If God, after all the wickedness of Israel, not just in this first part of chapter 3, but again in chapter 3 and in chapter 4 and in chapter 6 and in chapter 10, every time they called to him, in spite of their wickedness, in spite of the fact that they should have known better, every time they called upon him, he still cared about them, he still heard them, he still loved them, and he took care of them. You know, the lesson to learn there, don't stop calling on God. You say, Pastor, I don't deserve God's blessing. I understand that. We don't, do we? But listen to me. It's just clear to me. If God still will listen to these folks after all they have done, he'll still listen to us. And they called out to great effect. You're going to see, as we go through Judges, you're going to see a process, or I should say a transition, where Israel seems to get farther and farther away from God, and they finally come to the place where they quit calling on him, and then things get just even worse than they are right here. The sin binds them, but once they quit calling on God, they begin to destroy themselves amongst themselves. I'm glad we have a God we can call on, amen? A deliverer, a judge. I don't know why anybody would think that the devil's got something better to offer them. I want you to know something. We have a God that loves us, and he'll hear us if we'll call upon him. Let's all stand and pray, if you would, please.